Once again, Mr. Bond, you've come too close to thwarting my plans. Agent number 007.
The Shirkley 007.
Yes, Mr. Bond, that's what I said. 007.
No, you mispronounced it. It is 007.
Very well, Mr. Bond. But this is a laser gun, and it is going to destroy you.
We will see, sir. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the 007 Special Series, brought to you by Lethal Mullet Podcast, live here from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. Righto, let's get into it.
Welcome to Phantom Podcast Network. This is Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema, celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the B-grade action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax, with the loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Phantom Podcast Network's Lethal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate action movie cinema.
G'day mate, how you going? This is Adam O'Brien, come to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia for, of course, the 007 series specials. Special series, whatever you want to call them, it is a celebration of James Bond, and it's all happening May here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast, and of course brought to you by Phantom Podcast Network. And we are really neck deep in 007 right now. Tonight is a little bit of different sort of take on 007. There's a lot of imitators, always has been, when it comes to Ian Fleming's great spy series. The spy series to end all spy series, a character that is unlike any other, a character that we had all wanted to be back in the day, and that is, of course, James Bond. But the movie we're going to be talking about tonight stars a lot of the people from some of the biggest James Bond films. We're talking about, of course, Scaramanga, Dr. No himself, and of course, the big bad. That's right. Come on, you should know it. Spectres. Big bad is in this one too, of course, played by Donald Pleasance in this one. Obviously, different characters, but we're heading into that same area. The fact they've got Christopher Lee involved in this film as well is just amazing too, because of course, he's a distant cousin to Ian Fleming. That is, of course, the film Jaguar Lives, starring karate sensation from the 70s and 80s. That is, of course, Joe Louis, one of the toughest guys out there, the late Joe Louis, who's just an amazing human being and martial artist, and obviously veteran of the armed forces as well. One hell of a strong guy. And one guy that obviously crossed paths with a lot of famous fighters, martial artists, obviously film and TV and all that sort of stuff. Very interesting guy from the research that I've done too. And I knew of him through some of his martial arts records and stuff that he'd done, a lot of the things that he'd won, tournaments and stuff like that, and some great videos where he's talked about Jeet Kune Do and just karate in general, kickboxing and other martial arts. You know, very, I think, straight up, no nonsense sort of attitude to it, but also philosophical on, you know, the how and the why of martial arts. Very, very interesting guy. And in this film, he's pretty much the lead. He is the American James Bond, if you will. And it's a cross between that and obviously, you know, the time of Enter the Dragon was obviously huge out there too. And these huge, massive series that they were doing at the time, which were quite interesting. Some of them were just quite amazing films. But I think Jaguar Lives is definitely one of those ones that's right up on the top of it. Because they were trying something different, but at the same time, they were also trying something unique to themselves. And obviously with the martial arts involved. And let's just face it, if you were a Highlander fan, and I know you would be a Highlander fan if you're listening to the Phantom Podcast Network channel, because, of course, we have the one of the premier podcasts when it comes to Highlander. That's, of course, the one, the only, Blood of Kings. Well, if you like it, then you are going to like this, because we have somebody involved in this film who's actually the main villain, takes on Joe Louis, heavily involved in Highlander, and he was in Masters of the Universe, played a character in that, and has done film, TV, you name it. He's a fight choreographer and one hell of a hand with, of course, a bullwhip. And, of course, we're talking about Anthony DeLongis. And, of course, Anthony's work in this film alone, martial arts-wise, is amazing. He's quite a lot younger, obviously, back here, but I tell you what, folks, you're going to love it. But before we get into that, let's let you know how you can catch this show, many others like it, of course, on Phantom Podcast Network. You can find this show and many others like it on Phantom Podcast Network. You can find it on Stitcher Radio. You can find it on iHeart Radio and also Google Play and, of course, Apple Podcasts. You can also find it on the Master Feed with this show and all the other shows on there. Go and check out all of our past episodes. There's 50 others of them all there on fpnet.podbean.com. You can catch also myself, Adam O'Brien, the host, at The Leather Mullet. That's right, the handle at The Leather Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you'll find all sorts of stuff on there about not only this show, but you'll find it also about trivia, different films that we've reviewed, and of course, merch as well on there. Go and check it out, and we'll catch you on there on the web. All right, with that out of the way, it's time to head to the pub. Another beer, mate. Come on, over here, another glass, please, sir. All right, folks, welcome back here with a nice classic pint of pale ale here tonight to chat some 007. I've gone a bit 007 crazy here, folks. I've been going on Amazon and literally getting all the classic era of Ian Fleming novels, and I will be reviewing them in an upcoming episodes because I want to get an idea about just how close they were to the actual, I suppose when they did the adaptations, of course, through Eon Productions and more. So tonight we're going to be chatting about the Joe Louis action classic, of course, and one that I think is oft forgotten because it is a huge film, huge exotic locations. It, literally every 5 minutes the film's got a new location. That's how deep this goes into. And, of course, we have a lot of Bond villains involved. As I mentioned, we've got Donald Pleasance, Christopher Lee, and, of course, you also have the Dr. No himself as well in this. But what's great about it, too, is you also have John Huston, the legendary director, playing a role in this as well. So it's really interesting. Like, how did this film all come about and how that came to? But before we get into that, we're going to get to know a little bit about the stars in this one. Of course, this is one movie that really was, I suppose, the big project to get a new action hero out there. And one, of course, being Joe Louis himself. So, just who is Joe Louis? Well, who was Joe Louis, more rightly? Born in Knightdale, North Carolina in 1944, he is a kickboxing champion. He's done multiple styles of martial arts through his career. At 6 foot in height, and of course at about 195 pounds at his best, which is about 88 kilos in Australian measurements. He is a multiple stylist when it comes to martial arts. His styles were Tai Chi Chuan, Judo, Folk Style Wrestling, Rukyu Kempo, Jeet Kune Do, Western Boxing, Kickboxing, Matsu Bayashi Ru Karate, Shobayashi Shorin Ru Karate. All of it was standard, a standard of orthodox stance. He has many different masters that he's had over the years, some of those being Sugar Ray Robinson, Bruce Lee, and of course, the one, the only, Dan Inosanto. And of course, his trainer, Elvis Presley as well. So there you go. There's some very close ties there to some real legends as well. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about his record, but it's a really interesting part of history is that Joe Louis was at a time where a lot of fighting was changing when it came to the sports side of martial arts. He was obviously an American kickboxer, a point karate fighter, and actor. Of course, point karate was pretty much some of what you see in films like Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio up against Cobra Kai. And what changed was the big switch in the latter sort of half of a lot of these careers where it became contact sport. And obviously we see, you know, a lot of the kickboxing we had from the 80s and 90s. It's very interesting, and it obviously is, you know, been a champion of different martial arts, and dubbed and credited as some of the heavyweight world champion sites as father of modern kickboxing. Now, he served with the Marine Corps, and while he was serving overseas, he got a chance to study with some of the great masters over there. And if he wasn't obviously on the job at the time, he was training. And it looks like he got a lot of his heavy training through that time overseas where he was stationed. So you can just imagine, you know, the fitness regime of some powerful and obviously, you know, highly regimented, you know, armed forces like the Marines. And then put on the top of that some of the most hardened training from especially karate and stuff like that. It's pretty freaking amazing. So hats off to this legendary fighter. Obviously, too, one of the great things about it, too, is that, you know, he crossed paths with people like, obviously, Bruce Lee, as we mentioned earlier. And, you know, I think it had a big influence on him, like it did with a lot of the people that crossed paths with Bruce. Was, you know, he revolutionized not only taking the old, throwing out what didn't work, and, you know, made it almost a personal art when it came to the way of the intercepting fist, the Jeet Kune Do. You know, you use what is effective for you in not just doing some regimented form or kata, you know, like in karate. So it was interesting to see that sort of strand too. Obviously, one of the great things about it too is he became an actor in his later years as well, in the 70s and 80s. And he's got quite a great charisma on screen, which we'll go on about in his character in this film. But what's great about it is this guy's the real deal. He's the real McCoy. When it comes to fighting, what you see on screen is pretty damn powerful for that reason. So hats off to Joe Louis, one of the true amazing cinema action icons. All right, so that is Joe Louis. And obviously, too, there is other famous Joe Louis out there, but this is the kickboxing one. obviously, Joe, you know, in 1979, joined a Spanish-American production. It was directed by Ernest Pintoff. And obviously, we have the ties to it being Christopher Lee, Donald Pleasence, and Barbara Bach, along with some amazing other actors involved in it, too. The film's only 96 minutes long, so it's not a long film, not like the other Bond films and stuff like that are out there. So there's quite a breadth of, obviously, locations, and it really is basically a secret agent story. It starts off, obviously, with Joe, the secret agent, out on a run, who's set out to find an international drug cartel, basically. But at the start, he's on a normal mission, just like the other Bond films you'll find, where they have basically the end of a caper that we're already on. And he's on there with Anthony DeLonghi's character. And what they're basically doing is, as Jonathan Cross, he is hot on the heels of a villain. What happens is we see Brett Barrett, which is the character that Anthony DeLonghi plays, perishes, supposedly, in the chase. And what happens is, obviously, we see him a little bit later because we see one hell of a face-off between these two amazing, you know, action characters. I mean, they really are, at the end of the day, the communication between them is the karate they do, or the martial arts on screen. Christopher Lee plays Adam Kane, one of the many, I suppose, villains you see in the piece. Donald Pleasence plays General Villain Over. Do you like that? Villain Over. When I first heard the name, it sounded like a high school that's out here in Australia, and there's two of them. There's one in Sydney and one in Brisbane. They're called Villanova. But the way this is spelt is as in villain. Barbara Bach plays Anna Thompson. Joseph Wiseman, which is, of course, Dr. No, plays Ben Ashir. And John Huston plays Ralph Richards. So there's quite a cast when it comes to the Bond era as well, too. So the film does jump around all over the shop, to Southeast Asia, to desert locations. Obviously, it looks like parts of the Mediterranean as well. And, you know, it really is one of those classic adventures in its heart. And you just have to look at the actual spiel they put on the front of the Australian issue was, I quote, three Bond villains, one Bond beauty and a new hero. Outrageous action from the producer of Enter the Dragon. So it looks like they were trying to cash in on the success. Obviously, they didn't have the action star anymore because, of course, the late Bruce Lee had passed away. But at the same time, too, Roger Moore's lavish Bonds were pretty much ruling the roost at the time. I mean, this is 1979, so same time, obviously, Moonraker was getting made as well. Probably the biggest of all the Bond films, even now. The most lavish, the most out there, the most definitely the most camp of that era. But what's interesting about this one is that they've sort of taken a little bit of that feel, and of course the Sean Connery films as well. And there's just that sort of that little bit in between. Also in this is Woody Strode, who was in Spartacus and Once Upon a Time in the West, and Capuchin, who was in the Pink Panther films as well. But to have John Huston in this as well, I think it's pretty damn awesome. You know, like, it's not every day you have somebody of his caliber, particularly this. He wasn't young at that age, you know, in the 70s. You know, he was definitely in his elder years. And, you know, he's doing something like this, especially an action role, playing sort of, I suppose, one of the many actors, you know, who come in to basically put a lot of the information out for the character. Because at the end of the day, Joe wasn't exactly doing a lot of acting in this one. It was more a case of he would do an action beats and then interact with these great, fantastic actors. And I think that's part of what Ernest Pentoff and obviously the producers of this film, Derek Gibson and obviously Sandy Howard as well, were trying to do was basically let the talent on screen, so these great actors, these character actors, basically take a lot of that weight. You know, because that's what they do. I think the difference is with the, you know, not to say Joe was a bad actor. I think he was quite good. And definitely there's a charisma there. There's a likability. You like this guy. You know, Joe's the kind of guy you could have a beer with, you know, as in the character in this, obviously, you know, playing Jonathan Cross. And I think that's, you know, a great point to him. Obviously, a nickname is the Jaguar. And I like that because it kind of plays on the whole idea of like the secret agents of it will have their codes and stuff like that. Obviously, Ian Fleming's James Bond was 007. As it plays on that sort of idea. But to have, let's just face it, look, Scaramanga, The Man with the Golden Gun, which is, I think, still to this day, folks, is a better film than people get it credit for. It was at a time where people went, you know, it's not that great a film. It's Roger Moore, you know, Christopher Lee, you know, who could just about play anything. The late, great Christopher Lee, who's, you know, doing 2 million films to his credit, is the real McCoy, you know, and to play basically, you know, that story is all about the dark side of Bond, you know, the mirror, the twin in some ways. And that's what Scaramanga is pretty much the twin to James Bond. And Christopher Lee lived that life, you know. He, you know, took a lot of those secrets of World War II to the grave, obviously, because, you know, he was involved in intelligence and who knows? Who knows what else? Special operations, who knows? We know Ian was definitely involved in that too. And I think a lot of the stories you've seen of James Bond and the characters of the world of that is a play on that. It's definitely a play on, you know, I think there's a certain truth to what not only Bond was as a reflection of Ian, but also a reflection of that world. You know, it's a very secretive world and we'll never know all of what happened there too. And just as a side note, folks, if you haven't read it, Christopher Crichton, which was one of the many people who were close to Ian in obviously the naval intelligence, his real name was John Ainsworth Davies. He is actually, or he was, he's passed away, unfortunately. He was one of the commando group that worked for Ian. And there's a great book he wrote. You can work out whether yourself whether it's fiction or real, because it, you know, it's never been fully confirmed. But his testimony is in it as a story, is that they got the German, Martin Bormann, was obviously part of the Nazi Party, out of Germany in World War II as a secret special operations, which Ian Fleming was one of the lead orchestrators of. So it's an interesting story, just as a story, as a top secret mission. But, you know, there's much debate on YouTube these days whether it's true or not, because, of course, Bormann was found to be dead in Germany in 45 or whatever it was, or they found the body after the war. But, you know, this story claims that obviously he went to England and probably elsewhere in the world and lived out his days elsewhere. Anyway, but the story is interesting enough and it follows, obviously, what these guys would have been doing as special operations behind enemy lines. But this story really gives, obviously, not just the action sort of beats that you're going to get from your regular fare. The fact that we're going all over the place, you know, the print's really, really good on this one. I got this film probably about, I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago while living in Brisbane. And one of the key things for me for this film is how clean it is for, obviously, big production values, but the print has been kept really well. So this is, I think, a film that holds up. I would love to see a Blu-ray copy of this. Unfortunately, we just have the DVD copy from, it's a Ninth Dimension is the name of the production company that brought this out. And obviously, this DVD itself was from 2004, from Victory Films, and 2006 Ninth Dimension. I guess that's the Australian distribution for it. But always struck me was obviously the poster. The poster art is quite amazing. We get basically the Bond villains down the bottom, his karate teacher down the bottom as well. You also get some of the action beats, some of the motorcycles. Then at the top we get the characters Anthony DeLonghi's on one side, and we get Joe Lewis on the other, and they're basically in a martial arts pose using a spear and what looks like a club by the look of it. And then we have the big titles of Jaguar Lives exploding through this sort of triangle. It's a classic poster art that we saw from the 1980s and 1970s, which was, you know, obviously amping up the amount of action and stuff like that. But also, I think these were the sorts of ones that went straight onto, obviously, VHS covers. And that's a real art in itself now, folks. You only have to go online now and you can see some amazing art being done by, fans and stuff like that that are really into showing what these are about. Now, the story itself, in this one is obviously about a drug cartel, which Jonathan Cross is trying to find out where it is and basically defeat the international arm of it. And that's pretty much it. It's almost like a video game story where you start from one end of the world, like, you know, Street Fighter 2, same sort of idea. You go from one end of the world to the other, taking on some of the biggest fighters. And apart from some of the most shabby costume design I've ever seen, might have looked good in the 70s, folks, might have been great, but this is the sort of stuff your grandpa wears. That's right. but, you know, you put that aside, you know, you've got to hand it to the people that really put it together here is the actual choreography is ace. It is on point and obviously really looks real because a lot of the work in this would be, of course, Joe himself, you know, really going through and making the authenticity of the martial arts you're seeing on screen. And I think a lot of that you can go back to looking at, obviously, Bruce, how he was sort of learning that as he went from the big boss to the Chinese Connection / Fist of Fury, where he in real life, he wasn't a big kicker. Never used to do side kicks and all that sort of stuff. But when he realized the frame of film is, you know, makes things so small, he needs to express the power of, the body, the power of the martial arts through film. And to do that, you need, you know, using the length of the width of the screen and really showing energy. And energetic performance comes through kicking on screen. You sense it. You see it when you watch Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, any of those guys, even Jeff Wincott when he does kick. You can really get a sense of that power. And a lot of it is, you know, you're getting the momentum, the energy, the motion. Again, motion shows energy on screen. We see that. And, of course, it's just not boring. You know, you have two guys slugging it out with fists, you know, just like in boxing, you know, and it's when it's real, it's pretty much straight up just like that because it's so lethal. But you only got to think about when it comes down to it, it's kicking. It's really getting out there. And he's an ace. He was an ace kicker. There's no getting around it. Anthony DeLonghi is in this. Is fantastic. Obviously, Kevin and obviously Norm, who used to be part of FPN, big fans of obviously Anthony's work, as am I, and have actually been out to his ranch and learned how to do sword fighting, saber work, saber drills. They've done some work with bull whips, obviously the whips, which we're big fan of out of here in Australia, you know, out in the ranches, guys. The whip is one of the big things that we do out here when it comes to cattle and stuff like that, beyond the ranch. And, you know, it is one of those classic things that the ranch hands use to as a tool. So, obviously got those, and one of the great things about Anthony is he's obviously been involved in Highlander, other, obviously, action films and stuff like that as a choreographer, and basically, he's a weapons master. You know, he's one of the greatest when it comes to how to use the blade, you know, not getting around it. Obviously, he's martial arts whiz as well, but also, one of the great things is, I think, you know, for us that grew up in the late 80s, particularly after the first Mattel run of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, there was a character called Blade for the film, and it just happened to be played by Anthony DeLonghi. So there you go, folks. Got to check that out too. But where does this film fit for me on the scales? The Hallenbach scale, folks. I'm going to give this film a big, fat 4 out of 5. I enjoy it. You know, action films, we're not here to have these massive, winding plots. You know, I want bang for buck entertainment. I want great action. I want convincing martial arts. And I wanted to see it done by people that aren't going to take no for an answer. They're going to get out and they're going to hand it to these guys. They're going to really hold it to their own. And that's what you're going to get here. You're going to definitely get it with, of course, Joe Louis as the Jaguar. So go and check it out, folks. And that's everything for tonight here at the Phantom Podcast Network. Nice quick one, guys. You know, I hope you enjoyed it. And really, do go and check out the Jaguar Lives. I'm sure you can find links to how to find copies on whether it's YouTube or vice versa. There might be a trailer on there at least. But definitely go and check out the IMDb. The cast of this is amazing. And it really is, to me, almost like a Bond TV movie. There you go. It's the best way to describe it. I'm Adam O'Brien. Catch me at The Legal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And also catch me on fbnet.podbean.com on the master feed for Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. We'll catch you next week with much more Bond on 007 Special Series here on The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, a weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.